Welcome to the Bullets and Bourbon Podcast, where it's not about the bourbon, but more about who you share it with.
Welcome back to Bullets and Bourbon Podcast. Thanks everybody for joining back in. So, as usual, we're sitting around this time on a Saturday afternoon and enjoying some libations. And we're gonna jump right into what's in our cup. So, but we're gonna do this a little bit different for the sake of Dan, who it's just Dan and I today. Everybody else decided they were too lazy to come join us. Instead of talking about all the flavor notes, we're gonna play a game, Dan. All right, game.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of shit from some of the listeners because I don't know shit about bourbon. They're like, we want to hear more about the notes and the flavors and the taste, and I'm like, I don't know.
So what we're going to do is what I call the one sip challenge, and this is a really cool way to start to train your palate on the notes that you do pick up. And anybody can do this. It's real simple. You're going to take a sip. First, tell everybody what you're drinking. Then you're going to take a sip, and it's the first word that comes to your mind of what the taste is. That's it. That's all. It's real simple. So what do you drink? I'm going to take it up.
And it's so bad because I really enjoy this bourbon, and I have a feeling the first thing I'm going to say, like I say with anything I drink, tastes like rubbing alcohol, but it's good. But tonight I'm drinking Wild Turkey Kentucky Spirits Single Barrel. It's 101 proof, which is great. We did a blind taste on this about a month ago, and I chose this over everything else.
What'd you choose it over, though? In particular.
And we talked about it on the last podcast, right. But again, for the people who didn't turn in last week, I chose this over the Blanton's and New Riff. Out of the three, I thought this was the best bottle.
All right.
So we're going to go ahead, dive right in. I got my pour, take a little sniff. To me, it smells like bourbon. All bourbon to me smells almost the same. So I'm going to go, smells like bourbon. But here's the first sip.
First sip challenge. Here we go. One word.
One word. Bourbon.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Besides bourbon, one word. What flavor? Just give me a flavor.
It does have, I don't want to say fruity, because fruity is not the right
fruity's
word.
Fruity's good. Citrus.
It has a citrus taste. Something I'd definitely say more of a southern, I don't want to say, maybe a pear, maybe a peach, somewhere in between a peach and a pear.
There we go.
But, right. Yeah.
So you know, for everybody that wants to start tasting notes, what I recommend is that you do this. You just take a sip. The first thing that pops in your head, write it down. Wait a minute, maybe rinse your mouth out, take another sip, swish it around a little bit, and then write down what you taste again. You're going to find out after you do this a while, you're going to pick up different notes. You're going to maybe hit citrus, maybe hit pear, caramel, leather, dirt. Everybody's a little bit different with this. Generally speaking, though, after a while, you can really start to pull out those different notes.
You know,
it's just a great way to walk into it.
It's like a sip, a little bit of caramel.
Okay.
A little bit of caramel, a little bit of vanilla, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But definitely, you can taste the citrus.
Do you still like it as much as you did when you first had it against the two others?
I'm going to say yeah, even though the pressure's on. But yeah, definitely, it's definitely enjoyable. This is third drink today, so it's good.
Palace Prime, ready to go.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
So what are you drinking on?
So, I'm still on the craft bourbon kick, and I chose another Pennsylvania distillery. This is Hidden Still's David E. Double Oat Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So, for those of you that may be familiar with this brand, they're in Hershey, Pennsylvania, really cool part of Pennsylvania. I still really want to get out there, mostly because for those of you that remember Band of Brothers, this is where Captain Winters or Major Dick Winters is from, and he's got a memorial there. So there's a lot of historical kind of cool tie-ins. But on the bourbon side of things, on the whiskey side of things, this is really good whiskey. They have a bunch of different whiskeys out. Their Double Oak, though, is one of my favorites. It is definitely a delicious, really, really, really delicious drinker. Full of leather, dark earth. I don't deep, dark, charcoaly earth. A lot of black currant, black cherries. It's almost like they cut a tree down and whatever barrel went in this, the tree must have been surrounded by a cherry bush. Oddly enough, I cannot find the proof of what this is. And I remember when I was putting this in my inventory, I really had to search for it. And then I realized on the back of the label, it's a little bit of a banger. It's 117 proof. So it's a little bit of a sip. It's a mouthful. Great hug on it. They really did a good job. The colors, if you can see the bottle, it's just magnificent.
It's a nice dark amber.
Deep, dark amber. And just another example of really cool PA whiskey craftsmanship from the smaller distilleries, which, man, I get a kick out of it. I mean, I think that's really where kind of the cool stuff is in some of these craft, you know, smaller craft distilleries. And I think they just put their heart and soul into it. So if you see David E., or if you're in and around Hershey, I definitely recommend picking up a bottle. Maybe start with their straight bourbon whiskey, their bottom one, and work your way up. I tend to gravitate toward the higher proofs. So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's in my cup. It's a little early in the day on a Saturday to go this heavy proof. But, I mean, I figured, you know, what the hell? I mean, it's Saturday.
It was a rough Saturday.
It was a rough Saturday.
It was a rough Saturday.
So why was it such a rough Saturday, Daniel? Tell us.
You know, we're both big... For our American listeners, we'll say soccer, but we
football.
Hate youth. It's football.
Football.
You know, we're huge Tottenham Hotspur fans.
Of course.
And every Saturday, Sunday morning, this morning, they started off shitty at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday, watching our Spurs just get their asses handed to them by Newcastle. No defense. Yeah. It was
rough.
It was rough, and then we had to go out and coach kids soccer, youth soccer here in Pittsburgh, which...
It was a little bit of a redemption.
A little bit of a redemption. It was a good game for the kids.
Yeah, the kids turned out today. Yeah.
But you know, it was a disappointing day. But, you know, I know there's another club you like to follow. You got caught up in the hype and everything else when they went to the little television series.
Yeah, so
why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I will, matter of fact. Yeah, I mean, but I'll preface this. Look, I grew up a hardcore Southern college football fan. It's in my blood. I love it. And then, you know, lived in Europe, and I didn't catch on there until you introduced me to the beautiful game, which is football, which is soccer here in America. And it has spiraled into somewhat of an unhealthy obsession almost, but not something I regret at all. So the other team that I really enjoy watching and following along is one that a lot of people are going to know because of Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, and that's Wrexham. Red Dragons, and they today, congratulations first and foremost to Wrexham Football Club for being promoted to the English League 3. It's back-to-back promotions. They came out of the hardest, arguably like the hardest division, which is the non-league series last year, and were promoted, and then today they put a beating on the other team 6-0 and earned back-to-back promotions, which is... You know a lot more. That's huge to do in the promotion system, which I wish we had in America's soccer scene, if you will, right?
I mean, everybody, that's been the big argument in the United States, you know, especially with the MLS, you know, and the way the format is set up. Like, there's the great thing about European football is even if your club is trash, at the end of the season, they're fighting not to get relegated and knocked down to a lower league.
Every game matters.
Every game matters. Where, you know, in American sports, you know, you know American football or baseball or basketball, you're hoping for a lottery pick, draft pick, or whatever. So players start tanking games, and it's disappointing. The competition is not there. You know, it's something they could definitely do with the Major League Baseball. You know, promotion with all the AAA, double A's. But definitely with the MLS, there's enough leagues in the United States where they could have that promotion and relegation. And if they did that,
it would blow up.
It would blow up because you would get more people more interested. It's like, oh, okay, we have a small club here in, you know, Wisconsin, and you know they're playing small local teams. But if they have a chance to get up to the MLS. That's going to be huge. And the story like Wrexham, you know.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Amazing getting promoted, you know, 2 years in a row is absolutely phenomenal. They're really, you know, fighting for something every single time. Just lights out and now continues out to get to the next level.
Yeah, and the in the documentary, I mean, who hasn't heard of Welcome to Wrexham? You know, they really detail what soccer or football means to a city, means to a town, especially that town. That was a downtrodden area. They had a great tragedy back in the 30s with the mine disaster. And the documentary really goes past just athletics and sports and goes into Rob and Ryan really kind of falling in love with English football or you know, and not really expecting to. And the ups and downs, but the player profiles and all of the things that go into what soccer really is. The other part that's really neat is they detail out how the promotion system works, how relegation works, and the impact that it has, not just on a club, but also on a local community and the economics surrounding, right?
I mean, 100%, because you get those bigger clubs in town, you got more fans going to the games, you got people traveling. I mean, that's like, you know, when I originally tried to get you to watch European football, you were like, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
Shortly after that, you've seen, even in a 0-0 game, there's a lot of excitement,
yeah.
You know, things to cheer about, things to get pissed about, and you got hooked after, like, two games.
Yeah, that was tough. I didn't expect that. There's a reason why they call it the beautiful game. And, you know, for Americans, and for especially North Americans, I think, minus Mexico, I guess, so just America and Canada, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, we get in this little bubble where we think that the NFL and the NBA and the major leagues, they're the biggest. But we are dwarfed, numbers-wise, in the amount of people that watch, participate, live, breathe, and absolutely just are obsessed with football, with soccer. It's the world sport. It's huge.
And you know, we talk about it, you know, New York, you got the Mets, you got the Yankees. Mm-hmm. But you go over Europe, a lot of the major cities, I'm talking Madrid, Barcelona, London, Milan, you know, you got a handful of clubs. Like, in the Premier League alone, you got, and maybe a 5-6 mile radius, you got Tottenham, you got Arsenal, you got Chelsea, you got West Ham, Queen Park Rangers. You got a ton of massive stadiums in a 6 mile radius, which is phenomenal.
So I mean, when you lived over there in London after you got out of the military, how many games were you able to make it to?
All of them.
Just, I mean, it was,
absolutely every single one.
It's like walking distance, right?
It was kind of nice because I was dating a woman that worked for the Sky Network, so she kind of had a hookup. Took good care of me, really good care of me. The only thing that was really rough and disappointing, it was when Tottenham was having the construction done to White Hart Lane. So all the games were played over at Wembley, which was kind of heartbreaking because, you know, I wanted to get to White Hart Lane. I mean, I did get over there a few times when I was stationed in England, but not as much as I did when I was living in London after I got out of the military, which, I mean, it was still great. I got to see Rooney face Tottenham at Wembley, you know. And that was his last season in the Premier League, and then he came over here to the MLS, which was pretty exciting to see a legend like that play.
Well, now we get Messi, right? I mean, arguably the greatest player of all time.
Yeah, but at Miami, they're still struggling. Struggling,
well,
which you said.
Sport, right?
It's team sport.
So yeah, I mean, I'm thinking a trip to London in the near future, maybe swing by Wales and go to Wrexham and hit Scotland and hit a couple of distilleries and.
Oh, definitely.
But,
you know, you see me working on your wife this afternoon, trying to, you know, convince her to let you go to the Copa over in Vegas to see Brazil play Paraguay this summer. I'm pretty sure I got my brother 100% in. You know, this is the second time in, I think, 110 years that the Copa has been played in the United States.
So what is the Copa for those people that don't really know soccer, but maybe they're in a place where they could go to one of these? What is Copa? Because...
So Copa is the big national tournament for the Americas, mainly South and North America. But, you know, you do have Jamaica is in the Copa this year, which is pretty impressive. But it's like if you watch soccer, you always hear the Euros over in Europe, where you got, you know, Italy, England, Belgium,
Spain.
The big dogs out there fighting. And it's a prestigious tournament, national tournament, so you get all the big-name players playing for their home countries, which is great. The first time the Copa was played in the U.S. was in 2014. So right after I got out of the military, my brother took good care of me. We went up to Philadelphia. We seen USA play Paraguay, which was a good match. Kind of disappointing. I remember, I believe, Yedlin got a red card that match and was sent off. One of the players I was really looking forward to watching in 2014, he was actually an ex-Tottenham player, too.
Oh, wow.
Which was pretty impressive. But it's a good tournament. Some of the major cities they're playing in, Miami, Arlington, Texas, Las Vegas, Los Angeles. And this is the warm-up because in, 2026...
Yeah.
United States is co-hosting the World Cup.
That's going to be a huge, huge, huge event throughout the United States.
Yeah.
And Mexico, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mexico,
right?
And Canada. Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget about those guys up north. I mean, 100%, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, now getting this late in my midlife, man, I wish I would have dived into football, soccer, head first. You know, I look at, you know, number one, it's easy to catch the games at this time in the morning with kids' sports, right?
Oh, and that's I tell people. You get up, you get your cup of coffee.
Have a cigar.
You know.
Bloody Mary.
You know, the games start 7:30 to about 11:30 a.m. You know,
kids' sports.
And it's great because it's on Peacock, Amazon.
Yeah.
There's so many streaming sites out there that you can watch the matches.
Yeah, I'm definitely jazzed I got into it and just can't thank you and also curse you enough for that additional cost on my wallet. But hell, man, I mean, I'm not arguing. Go Tottenham and go Wrexham Red Devils. Congratulations to you guys. You want to talk about punching, you know, way out of your weight class back-to-back years.
Well, speaking about punching, I'm going to flip it real quick.
Okay, all right.
Because there's a lot of talk online, and I know you've seen it.
Oh boy.
Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, you know, it's, for me...
Jake Paul, Mike Tyson,
I know what you're doing. If I was an athlete, you always want to go up against the greats.
Okay.
You know, but Tyson, he's what, 58, 59 years old now? You know, he hasn't boxed or had an exhibition in how long?
That's Mike Tyson, bro.
It's Mike Tyson.
It's Iron Mike.
You know... Iron Mike has nothing.
This is literally the Nintendo 64 game.
Glass Joe
against Iron Mike. It's literally the game coming to life. Art takes life, right?
Yeah. Taking away nothing from Jake Paul. You know, he's been able to prove himself. You know, a lot of people, when he first came out, this guy's a joke. And I was one of those people. He's a joke. He has no talent. You have no business being in the ring. But he has shown time and time again, he puts the work in, he has some talent. But to me, he has nothing to gain by fighting Mike Tyson.
Well, except for a hefty insurance bill and medical bills. I mean, this is Iron Mike Tyson, man. This dude eats earlobes.
Well,
bro.
Well, not only that. As a boxer, as anybody in sports, you know, Jake Paul got to be late 20s maybe.
Yeah.
Late 20s, you're fighting a guy that's 57, 58 years old. You know, you beat him, you just beat somebody who's retired, who's 57 years old, who's coming up on retirement age for the rest of us working people. You know, so if you beat him, it's like, dude, you beat somebody who's 57.
No.
You get knocked the fuck out by Mike Tyson.
You got knocked out by a dude that's...
And I hope it happens. I want Mike to show he's still got it, but now... Now everybody's going to be like, dude, you just got knocked out by a 57. Granted, it's Mike Tyson. It is Iron Mike.
Iron Mike.
And I'd put money on it. He would knock me the fuck out.
He
100%.
I would probably get knocked out by Mike Tyson.
You would have to pay me because I ain't going to wake up for like 2 days.
That's fine. Yeah, if you pay me what Jake Paul's getting paid, I would get knocked out 3 times in the same day by Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I would not be upset.
So talk about getting knocked out by somebody.
Well, hold on. Back to Mike Tyson.
Okay.
So do you think he is foolish for taking this fight?
From a business standpoint, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, business standpoint, we know how he got screwed when he was younger by the management and everything else.
Yeah,
he should have
done the promotion system.
Whole promotion system and the whole nonsense like that. He should be sitting on more money than Mayweather. He really He really should. He got screwed by his management. Definitely 100%. You know, if I was him, I'd take the fight because I'm 57 years old. I have nothing to lose.
Everything to gain.
Everything to gain. My bank account's going to look nice. I'm going to be able to do some publicity stuff. You know, maybe get paid to get on some shows. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't need the money, but, you know, who doesn't need the money?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking that type of money. So Mike Tyson, no, nothing at all. And you see the workout videos; he looks great.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. So Mike Tyson to me has always been a bit of an enigma as far as a professional athlete goes. Right? He has this kind of weird aura surrounding him publicly. He's crazy, bites dudes' ears off, but at the end of the day, he's a beast.
Oh, 100.
And if you looked at his workout videos, his punches are still stupid strong.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I think his trainer even mentioned that his inside uppercut has gotten more powerful over the years.
Oh yeah.
And the other thing for Jake Paul, and I'd be remiss if I didn't defend all middle-aged to older males out there, you don't corner an old dude. Because
we got that old man strength.
We got that old man stupid strength, right? But we know the end's near. Like I still to this day remember being in Afghanistan and a certain contractor company had some individuals over there. They were all a little bit elderly compared to us younger dudes. They were scary dudes. And I asked them, like, what are you doing? And one of the guys is like, you bring in the old dogs when you want stuff really taken care of. Because old men just fight nasty. Right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
If I'm Jake Paul, I hope somebody's telling him, this dude's 68, he can still knock the shit out of you, and he ain't got nothing to lose.
Wow.
I mean, you corner a tiger, what happens usually? Oh, tiger yeah. lashes out. So I'm juiced to see this. I mean, that's going to be... Are you buying the fight, or am I buying the fight?
Well, somebody's going to have to buy the fight.
I think Craig, because he ain't here, because he had to leave.
Yeah, we'll
he
make
takes the
we'll,
fight.
Yeah, yeah, we'll make Craig, especially.
Maybe we should GoFundMe or something.
You know, as much bourbon as we bought off Craig.
Yeah, I think he deserves it.
He could sprint for the fight.
That's a good point. Definitely, that's going to be a hell of a celebrity. I don't want to call it a celebrity fight, but it is a celebrity fight.
Yeah.
True?
Oh, 100%. With the celebrity fight, you know, it takes us back to, like, Celebrity Death Pool, you know, back with MTV days. Oh. So speaking about celebrities and Celebrity Death Match, that's what it was, Celebrity Death Match.
Celebrity Death Match.
So if you had, you know, not to beat the shit out of somebody just because you despise them, don't like them, you know, but kind of take it back to the Fight Club, you know, the movie Fight Club when they're sitting on the subway talking about, you know, if you had to fight somebody...
Yeah.
You know, who would you want to fight? And one guy said Lincoln, because Lincoln was scrappy and tall, and you know he had the arm length. You know, if you were, you know what? We ain't even gonna go say, hey, back in my prime. If you had to fight a celebrity now,
right now,
right,
in
right,
the shape I'm in,
and the shape, we'll give you 6 months to get back into fighting shape. You know what I mean? Because I mean, look at the time Jake Paul and Mike Tyson's taking with this fight. They're not fighting until July. So you know, if you had a couple months to get in shape. And you had to fight somebody and make it competitive and not just a straight ass beating because you want to beat the shit out of De Niro for some of his comments or this elderly celebrity, who would you want to fight?
Well, first of all, Fight Club is... We don't talk about Fight Club, bro. You can't...
We're talking about Fight Club.
We're talking about Fight Club. All right, well, you first.
Me
you first because... I'm going to need a hot minute. I got to factor in that 6 months on this old body, these surgically prepared knees I'm walking on. So, yeah, you first. Come on now.
I think if I fought Michael J. Fox, I'd have a chance.
Come on, man. Michael J. Fox?
No, that's so wrong.
That's the most messed up thing I've heard today. You killed Michael J. Fox.
Okay,
dude.
Okay.
Golly.
You know, I'm out of shape. My cardio isn't there. I would get
your ass, though.
Michael J. Fox would probably whoop my
ass.
Your
ass.
He would probably whoop my ass.
Because he hits you like twice every time he hits you, right?
That's fucked up. No disrespect, Michael J. Fox. Love you. And I hope all's well. No disrespect.
You better pick somebody else. You're going straight to hell. Oh, and I'm right behind you.
The thing is, like, I don't want to pick somebody I know I could beat. I don't want to pick somebody that's going to beat my ass. You know, if I'm going to fight, you know, I boxed when I was in Louisiana in the military for a little bit. Not long, amateur, just a little bit in Louisiana. But if I had to fight somebody,
a lot of dead air.
Because I want something to be competitive. Because I say Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor, but I'm pretty sure he'd beat my ass.
Oh, he'd crush you. Fat Thor or skinny Thor, though? That's a...
Oh, if I fought...
Cardio...
I fought Fat Thor...
You'd have a chance.
I might... That might be a good... You know, we got to let him eat donuts, some Big Macs.
Yeah, you got to...
And that could actually be a decent fight.
I mean, it'd be fun to watch either way. Just watching you get knocked the hell out would be enjoyable. I think I know.
I think I'd go with Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. Well, that's acceptable.
I'm a little bit heavier than him. We're probably roughly around the same size. He may have got a couple years on me. Mm. He looks like he's a fit. He looks like he could scrap if he needed to scrap. So I'll go with Robert Downey Jr. I think that'd be, you know, pretty equal fight. So what about you? What are you thinking?
Man, I know who I want to fight. Straight up, 100% Conor McGregor.
Shut the fuck up.
Listen.
Look, all I know, if that fight went down, me and Craig would be fighting over who's going to take over the bourbon collection.
Listen, I can make it competitive. Maybe.
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 What, in 3 years?
I'm just saying, well, listen. After watching Roadhouse, if any of y'all have not watched Roadhouse, by the way, we'll talk about that.
That was a movie, and Jake Gyllenhaal was in killer shape, and it was a movie scripted. Come on.
Listen. But the way that Conor McGregor played the villain...
He didn't play shit. Conor McGregor played himself. I'm going to be an asshole.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to set that aside then. So a realistic celebrity that I would love to just get into a ring with, any celebrity. You remember that dude from MSNBC with the bald head? The commentator that got busted for playing with himself?
No.
All right, we'll Google that. I guess I got to move on to somebody else. Damn, you made this hard for me.
No, I don't watch MSNBC.
It was on other news outlets. Oh,
the only one I remember was the senator at that time that was sending pictures of his stuff to people.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wiener, whatever. Wiener sending pictures of his wiener.
All right, so any celebrity, we're talking about politicians too?
No politicians, because I'll know where I know exactly where you'll go with
I don't think you. Okay, all right. So we got us. So I say Kevin Hart, but Kevin Hart's so funny, man. He whipped my ass because I'd be laughing half the time.
Yep, but have you seen Kevin Hart's workouts?
I know
he hits the gym pretty good.
He would whip some ass.
So, but I think you would have, you know, fighting somebody that's 4'11" and you're what, 6 foot even.
Yeah,
that's
and Al Pacino's off limits, right?
Yeah, he's, come on, you can't fight somebody who's 70 years old.
Why not?
I can't fight Michael J. Fox. You're not fighting somebody who's
Al Pacino. Oh man. Oh, and I don't know, man. I'm still going to default to I'm defaulting to Conor McGregor. I mean, he will whip my ass. There is no doubt about it. I'm just trying to get in 2 minutes of good fight. And I'm honest to God, dude, it's all because of Roadhouse. It's all because of that movie. I mean, did you watch?
Yeah, I watched Roadhouse.
Okay, so what'd you think? Come on. We watched the original.
Yeah, I honestly liked it better than the original. Like, not a big Patrick Swayze
fan. Don't give away the ending, Fred.
Oh, no.
Because there's probably people who have not watched
it. No, I liked it because the movie leaves it open to a number of different possibilities if they want to keep that character and do something else with it. You know, I think the concept was great. It didn't copy the original, but it still copied the original. That makes sense. You had the cameo by Post Malone, who I know you're a big fan of. But I think the idea, the concept behind it was pretty good. Good action. And it had Conor McGregor in it, being fucking Conor McGregor.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. So, now, believe it or not, my wife had never watched the original Roadhouse. I don't know how that happened. She has missed, seriously, consistently missed all the Star Wars. I don't know how you do that. And Roadhouse, I don't think she's watched the Matrix. She hasn't watched any of the Matrixes. I don't.
Well, what about Red Dawn? Has she seen Red Dawn?
She's seen the new Red Dawn. Saw the original. I don't know. So I'm trying to figure. That's just I don't understand what occurred in her childhood. She did not see some of these great American. I had to sit with her and watch Amish? Godfather.
Was your wife Amish, maybe? I mean, no TV?
Are you calling down here and ask her that?
No, because I don't want to take an ass beating today.
Yeah, so silently, between us and everybody else who can listen to this, I don't get it. So we watched it together, and then as I looked over at her watching Jake Gyllenhaal grace the screen, I mean, you know, he got cut up for that role.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and she let me know that.
Yeah, but I bet you had a good night later on, right?
I did.
Yep. So guys, I'm telling you, a good movie to watch with your girl.
Yeah, 100%.
It's definitely the new Roadhouse. You may get a little mad, but you'll be happy later.
Listen, all serious, I thought it was a cool remake. And we're seeing some of these other remakes kind of pop up. I mean, what was the one that we had talked about the other day? Tombstone.
Tombstone
may come back. And with Matthew McConaughey, who is the dude from The Walking Dead with the baseball bat?
Negan. I have no idea what his name is, but I know what you're talking about.
So, I mean, I think we're starting to see some of these kind of classics come back and get toyed with. I'd like to see some of the older ones, like, The Big Red One, you know, some of those old World War II movies that they did. I'd like to see some of those come back. But it was cool to see that, and I think they did it in a way that didn't kind of shame or throw any shade on the original Roadhouse. It was more of an extension of, not a repeat.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool.
So, what's a movie you would definitely like to see a remake? You know, a lot of times we talk about don't ruin the originals, don't remake this, but it's always nice to see, you know, especially with the quality of the cameras now and the high quality of the video films.
So, can I give a couple because I'm torn on it?
Yeah, go for
it. Okay, so, you know, I'm a huge World War II buff. I love it. It was the coolest part of being in Europe, is being able to kind of walk those footsteps. And Band of Brothers sets the bar high when it comes to kind of movie-type productions. But I would love to see either The Dirty Dozen or A Bridge Too Far.
Okay.
Redone. Yeah. I think that they were... and there was one, and the name is escaping me now, where they go and they make the assault on the Rock of Gibraltar.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the movie right now. It's gonna torment me. But all three were based on true stories. And so the World War II like nerd in me says, guys, like, Hollywood, wake up, dude, go reshoot this. Every time you do a World War II movie that you do right, or World War I, like All Quiet on the Western Front, when they redid All Quiet on the Western Front, it was amazing. And it was hard. It was hard to watch because we can do things now in film that we couldn't do 50, 60, 70 years ago. And I just think you don't let that story go, because that story tells a story that needs to be passed on to preserve kind of history in its own right. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, for me, you pick any one of those huge World War II classics.
All right. So with that said, you know, since you're on the military side of things, one of the big movies that kind of pushed me to go to the military was Heartbreak Ridge.
Oh, yeah.
Heartbreak Ridge.
Gunny Highway
with Clint Eastwood. You know, as much as I wouldn't want to see a remake, because that was definitely a movie I enjoy, I still enjoy watching it today. Love to see that remade.
What if they could recast it with Scott Eastwood, who looks just like his freaking dad?
Oh, that'd be impressive. I mean, he did great with Outpost. I think he did phenomenal with Outpost. But I'd definitely like to see that made. And something, you know, made me think of it because we were talking about fighting earlier. Fight Club.
Oh, man, that's tough, isn't it, though?
I mean,
who do you have to play that part, though? Brad Pitt nailed that, didn't he?
Brad Pitt nailed that. I always forget his
name. Norton.
Edward Norton crushed it. But that's one of the movies you get done, and, you know, it's the ending, and you're just like, holy shit. Like, the ending was such a curveball.
Crazy.
You know, like, movies like that and Shutter Island that really screws with your mindset at the end, where you're like,
man, what if I'm going through life and I'm like in a loony bin or something crazy, you know, like, what if everything's just like made up in my mind and I'm laying in a coma? Like I like movies like that. And at the end of the movie, you're like, wow, that's a good twist.
The right character. Right?
Yeah.
So speaking of characters, so one of my favorite all time is Bond. And I'm going to ask you two things. One, who is your favorite Bond? And two, who should be the next Bond before we wrap it up?
So who was the Bond before Daniel Craig?
So before Daniel Craig, it was Pierce Brosnan.
That was my Bond.
That was your favorite Bond.
That was my Bond because that was, you know, when 007 GoldenEye came out for the Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah, that was some great fun right
you
there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, it brings me back to my childhood, and that was my favorite Bond.
Okay. Give me a name on who you cast in there.
For a new Bond.
For a new Bond. Because that's tough.
Yeah. Who was the guy they were looking at? Eldris?
Idris Elba, yeah.
Yes.
Right. If I probably just butchered your name, I'm so sorry. I suck at my own name. So
I think he'd make a phenomenal Bond. I think, hands down, he'd be a great Bond. I know they were looking at him, trying to peg him down for it. I think he would crush it.
Okay, yeah. So I really like him as an actor. I mean, everything he's been in has been just he plays a phenomenal role. I guess I'll go with who is my favorite Bond. Daniel Craig, hands down.
Yeah.
I think he defined that role in a way that the other Bonds didn't. And, you know, yeah, people are going to say Sean Connery. He's the original Bond. I mean, Sean Connery. But, and Roger Moore probably had the most lengthy run. But, you know, Timothy Dalton did a hell of a job. George Lansbury, he had the one-hit wonder. Pierce Brosnan, I love those. You know, especially, you know, who could forget Halle Berry climbing out of the seawater? I don't even care if she hears it. Only, you know, that was something to watch.
Yeah, we'll tell your wife she ain't allowed to listen to this podcast.
Listen, this is Halle Berry, though. Come on. Yeah, so, you know, but as far as, like, new, you know, well as far as you know, Bonds go, Daniel Craig really killed that role. I mean, he really kind of, he had that look. New Bonds, man, that's tough. I mean, I'd have to agree that Idris Elba would be a hell of a choice. I would have liked to have seen Gerard Butler, a younger Gerard Butler.
Yeah, I think he's a little too old now.
A younger Tom Hardy would have been a good pick for that role. Aaron Taylor Johnson is a hell of a prospect.
What's the name of the guy that plays in what is it? Peaky Blinders.
Oh God, you're gonna kill me, Peaky. Oh man,
the main character from Peaky.
Just won a Golden Globe or an Emmy or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what though. So,
I think he could pull it off.
You think he'd make a good? I don't know, man.
I think he would make a good Bond.
I don't know. I think for Bond, you got to have that. Look, it's undeniable masculinity. It is in your face sexism, male, you know, ego to make a Bond work. And Daniel Craig did it in a way though that also was very human. So. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think there's only a handful of characters that really can suck you in the way that you're meant to be sucked into the way they're writing it now. So, I don't know, man. That's cool. We're going to see a lot of cool movies come out in the next year. There's a couple of cool ones coming out. Civil War is coming out here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's later this month, isn't it?
Yeah. And for those of you who haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend going over to old Amazon Prime and checking out Fallout. If you're a video game nerd, and listen, Dan and I both were middle-aged dudes.
Don't put my business out there.
I'm putting your business out there. And we love our video game. We love our Call of Duty. I'm a Fallout guy. I grew up with Fallout. I mean, and they made that into a TV show or TV series, limited series. It is really good. I'm on the second episode. Just watched that last night. If you care about details of something, like, you know, to me it's about details. Like, the did they get it right to the video game or the book or whatever it is, whatever medium you're using to pair it against? Did Fallout's right there. So I think we got some cool stuff finally after the Writers Guild strike was canxed. Yeah, I settled up last night, had me a tall glass of whiskey and watched Fallout and was pleasantly happy. So yeah, I mean, some cool things coming in the near future. Can't wait to see what's out there. And listen, if there's something you guys want us to kind of take a look at and talk about, you know, let us know. We want to say before we wrap it up, though, once again, to Wrexham Football Club, the Red Devils, the Red Dragons, rather, amazing job on an awesome season, back-to-back promotion titles. Can't wait for the next season of Welcome to Wrexham to come out, which I think is sometime in May. It's going to be dope. And to our Tottenham Hotspurs, we love you.
Get your shit together, though.
Coys forever. We will get to Champions League, and European football or real football, soccer is God, and we are on your side. And last but not least, to everybody out there, on behalf of Dan, myself, and the Bolts River crew, thank you guys for tuning in and listening to this latest episode. As always, shoot us ideas. Let us know what you want to hear. We're going to keep it real, authentic, and stay thirsty, my friends. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Bullets and Bourbon. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.